Hi, everybody, and welcome to the ASP.NET Monsters. This here is episode number 29, and today we're going to be talking about the developer error pages. So,
Yes. Wait,
do we have an announcement that we want to
We
take
have an
first?
Announcement, and Dave, sickly Dave, welcome back.
Hey, is the announcement that there's an RC2? Did I miss like a big...
No, that would be it. We have a fanfare prepared for that. I have tiny fireworks, because that's all the world up here.
The announcement is about a project that us monsters are working on. And
yes.
It has to do with a book signing with a company that rhymes with Schmicrosoft.
Well, it's one of my cryptic. Favorite companies.
So we're going to be, this is super exciting. We get to write a book on application development using ASP.NET Core for Microsoft Press. So that's our big announcement. We are pretty geeked about it, and so are the management and staff of Alpine Ski Hill.
Mm-hmm. Who are going to be discovering that we are going to build them an application. And we're going to show everybody how to build that application. So if you happen to manage a ski hill, this is probably the book for you. Or I guess tangentially, if you're interested in ASP.NET, this would also be the book for you. But mostly
Absolutely.
Ski hills.
Mostly ski hills.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so take us away on the application, Dave. Show us all about developer error pages.
So this is something we've kind of skimmed over in a few of our episodes here in the startup configuration. And really there's kind of some replacements here for the old yellow, what they called the yellow page of death in previous versions of ASP.NET, that big stack trace and giving you all the information about the error that happened on a page. So the way to turn those on in ASP.NET Core is in the configure method, you just tell it app.use developer exception page. And there's one other one that's a little bit more specific to databases, so app.use database error page, and we'll take a look at that one. And these two are in there by default, and you'll notice that it's happening only if the environment is development. So this isn't going to be turned on in production. It should only happen when you're running locally on your developer machine. And then there's another one here that I turned on manually. It's not in there in the default file new project, but it's the use runtime information page. So what I've done is I've turned those on here, and I have an application that's laced with errors so that we can go and explore what these look like.
So you had to explicitly write errors, right? Because most of your applications have no errors.
This is true.
This must have been tricky. You must have checked out someone else's code.
Sure, something like that. So just the standard file new project here. We have home, contact, and when I go to about, here we have a divide by zero exception. So you can see that we have our stack trace like we would normally have, but it's formatted a little better than, it's a little easier to read than what we used to have in the yellow screen at page of death. But what's kind of cool in here is that I can click on this and it kind of expands it out, and I can actually see some context right in the page of where this happened. So here you can see my error. That's just a silly divide by zero because that was the easiest thing I could think to throw an exception. And there's also a couple tabs in here. You can get a little more information about any query string data and your cookies and headers for that request. So that's it for the developer exception page. Nothing too shattering there.
No, but that stack information could sure come in handy if you're hitting a tricky one.
Yeah, for sure. And I like that we can kind of expand out and see a little bit of context here without having to jump back to the code.
In the context of the code, right, exactly. Yeah.
So the other one was that use runtime info page here. And that one, what it does is just adds a little endpoint here. If I go to slash runtime info on my app, just gives me information about the environment I'm running in. So it tells me the architecture that I'm running on full CLR here, as opposed to core CLR, all the packages that are loaded and where they were loaded from. Mm. So also very useful information.
Yeah, that's great. So this is kind of the equivalent of that PHP info
page.
Yeah. He said, admitting that he had at some point in time written PHP code.
That sounds about right. I think there was something, there was a MVC package you can install too that did this in previous versions of MVC, but now it's just kind of built in, which is nice. And it'll be even potentially more useful down the road, right? Because, you know, what operating system are we deployed on? It might not be Windows. We're running on full or core CLR, and where did these assemblies get loaded from?
And
all might be
also
very useful debug information.
Yeah, that'll also be important when we're looking at things like loading our runtimes from NuGet packages and things like that, right? And understanding if it's something that was loaded environmentally or if it was something that was extended, if it was part of the operating system, or perhaps if it was something that was added to the container if we're working in a containered environment. So probably some good usefulness coming down the road there for that.
I think so. Then the last piece was that database error page, and this one I'm kind of excited about because it gives us some actionable content on there. So let's say we haven't hit the database yet, but as soon as I try to log in here, it's going to try hitting the database. Assuming I remember my password in this fake app. Okay, so database operation failed while processing the request. It's telling me invalid column name, something, something, and then it notices, it says, applying existing migration to for application DB context may resolve this issues. So it notices that there's a pending migration here. So the use case might be that another developer on my team had created a new migration for our database. I just pulled down the new code, I run the app, and it crashes because I haven't run those migrations yet. It actually tells me you can apply these migrations running the command line dnx ef database update, or you can just click this button, and then it applies the migrations, which is really cool. So that actually went and ran the migrations for me, and now I can refresh the page, and it works. And apparently I don't know my password. That's the developer error page, the database error page.
Excellent. One of the things that kind of comes to mind is that in the development environment, because these are just, these might be implemented in a couple of different ways. It's middleware of some sort. We could write our own that could be running in, that could extend our application in some interesting way, and we could add them during the startup procedure in that same block of code and have something that doesn't ship beyond the development environment borders.
Yep.
Yeah, this definitely seems like it would be something cool. Like, the thing that instantly comes to my mind is that you could have an application maintenance page that was implemented in this fashion.
Yeah, yep.
So that if it detected that the database wasn't working, then here's your application down page.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You could have things like, populate your developer database with a couple different options for seed data for testing with and that kind of thing.
Right, throwing, changing different states, pre-populating orders, whatever you wanted to do, and have some kind of console that's only available in the development environment.
Yep.
Nice.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Dave, for showing us that, and thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next time on the ASP.NET Monsters.
Cheers.
Hi, everyone.